welcome to the Taskmaster Podcast, New Year's treat special podcast of that episode. Quite a convoluted way of saying that. It's another episode of the Taskmaster Podcast. We are going to be chatting about the special New Year's, I'm going to say celebrity Taskmaster, but everyone's a celebrity on Taskmaster, or at least they are by the time they finished it. But these are more sort of traditional celebrities, the non-comedian celebs. It's an amazing lineup. It was a fantastic episode. Taskmaster is always fun. Of course it is. It's the silliest, most fun show on television. But this had an extra layer to it. Everyone was just so relaxed. I say it to our special guest, but it really felt like a big old party. So we're going to be chatting through that episode, looking at the new contestants, talking about the tasks, how we would have done them, how we think Greg should have scored them. Or we might agree with Greg now and again. Now and again, not all of the time at all. But it was a really fun episode and the perfect tonic to a weird year, as Taskmaster always is. But this felt like a lovely little cap on the year. So let's talk to our special guest. Our special guest is the wonderful Scroobius Pip, podcaster, actor, musician, all of these things. He does an amazing podcast called Distraction Pieces, which he's done for a very long time. It's a brilliant interview podcast. It's had some incredible guests on it, including me. Yes, don't worry. And also, yes, some brilliant people too. So go and listen to that after you have listened to this. Of course, if you've not seen the New Year's treat episode of Taskmaster yet, go and watch that first and then listen to the podcast. It would just be weird to do it the other way around. It wouldn't make any sense to you. After that, why not go on the Taskmaster YouTube, youtube.com/Taskmaster, getting as much Taskmaster content as possible. Yes, I say Taskmaster a lot, but it'd be weird to not say it a lot because that's what the podcast is about. So without further ado, let's crack on. Here is the brilliant Scroobius Pip on the Taskmaster Podcast. Welcome, Scroobius Pip, to the Taskmaster Podcast.
Hello, Edward Gamblewood. I'm very excited to be here.
Thank you. Finally, a guest uses my full name. Well, it's been too long.
Well, I decided that it's arrogant to assume that you only shortened your first name. You know, you got rid exactly. of your best name completely. You don't use Stevenson, the most amazing part of you as
Correct.
A human, I think. But so what is there to assume you wouldn't have abbreviated your surname as well? So I'm glad I've...
My full name, it's finally been revealed on the Taskmaster podcast, is Edward Stevenson Gamblewood.
Yes, exactly. It's good to be here.
Well, thank you very much for coming on. Very excitingly to talk about the New Year's treat, the New Year's Taskmaster treat, which I don't think anyone was expecting. It
No.
truly feels like a treat because just to do this one-off with people who probably too busy to do the full series, or they sort of are trying to work out a way of getting them into a full series but couldn't quite work it out. And it is quite the array of names that I don't think you'd see together on television at any other point.
It's amazing because it's one of those exciting things, because there's always people when you watch Taskmaster, you know, I'd love this person to be on, but they're not a comedian. Do you know what I mean? It's not going to quite fit perfectly. And this kind of showed how, adaptable the format is.
Exactly. But before we crack on into the episode,
yes,
obviously you're an erstwhile podcaster, actor, musician.
Yes,
you've done it all, Pip, and a TM fan. You are a Taskmaster fan. You've been very vocal about that.
Hugely.
on your various platforms. Yes. So let's just talk about what you love about Taskmaster and some of your favourite moments from across all of the series.
Or from day one, it's just. I genuinely think it's the most consistent show on TV. Like there's not been an episode I haven't enjoyed, and that's so rare, particularly in these kind of Netflix times. Yeah, it's so consistent, and kicking it off with, I mean, I could watch Ramesh and Tim Key do absolutely anything. Read the phone book and I'll be in tears of laughter. When I had Tim on my podcast, I was really worried because I just giggle at him speaking. And I was like, this isn't going to be a good podcast. As a host, this isn't going to be a good podcast. But yeah, that started it off so well. Tim's sneakiness in that episode. Yeah. Ramesh's trying to be cool and laid back about it, but being hilariously grumpy, as is his go-to. And Roisin Conaty's just Roisin-ness, essentially.
They did nail that first cast. Yeah. It's absolutely perfect. But I don't think they've really put a foot wrong in terms of casting. And no, I think that is the genius of the show. They do find people with amazing chemistry, but they don't know they're going to have chemistry until they get into the studio.
Yeah.
And often, I think it's the same with any fandom. There's occasionally people who are like, oh, well, I liked it in the last series, and now I don't know any of these people they've announced. And then within one episode, everyone's going, all right, this one's good as well. Sorry.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, again, that's kind of the excitement and beauty of it, right? We've just seen in the last series with Moan. I wasn't familiar with him, and he was an absolute joy every moment he was on screen. So
totally.
Yeah, it's that's part of the excitement. I like it. I don't think there's ever been a series where there's not one person where I go, oh, they're going to be good. And then you kind of, they've built up that faith and that trust. It's so hard to pick a favourite lineup because I think everyone knows that the general rule is any series of anything that has Bob Mortimer in is the best series because he's Bob.
Yeah, true.
And it delivered on Taskmaster. He was just consistently... Yeah. Just amazing. But yeah, I loved... A lot of people talk about Series 7 being a classic. And it was. Everyone on there was great.
Yeah.
If you go in on figures, you know, Series 9 is until the Channel 4 era. We have to count that separately.
Oh, if we're going on viewing figures... Yeah, fine, we'll count that separately. But if we're going on viewing figures, it was the most popular series, I'd say, overall.
Exactly, you know.
And the best.
So the winner of the most popular series must just be the most popular...
The most popular contestant of all time, I suppose so. I suppose you're probably right, but...
It's arguable, isn't it? Surely.
I'm sure a lot of people would argue otherwise, but there we are. But I think you're right. It's so difficult to pick a favourite series or favourite contestant because it's one of the only shows where you can see someone for that long on TV as well. Someone can do 10 episodes of a panel show. So everyone gets a moment to shine and everyone has at least 5 genius moments per series, I think.
Yeah, I think... But there are those people that as soon as they're announced, you go, this is going to be... Just their style matched with what the show is. But I was chatting on social media the other day. It's Rick Edwards. I was chatting with Rick Edwards about it on socials. And we were both saying, just imagine it. Just everyone's panic about what they're doing. And Jamali just is sat there vaping. And he's finished already. and doesn't care.
Yeah,
and,
no, really... Really looking forward to that.
And we've seen the lack of effort can be incredibly amusing by the first task every week on the last series, where just the lack of effort was overwhelming.
I don't feel like that would be your style if you did the show, Pip. I think you've proven already that you're really into the show and you'd throw yourself into it. I think you'd be one of the ones who wanted to win, but you'd really put your all into it.
I mean, Ed, all I do is win. It's a known fact. Like, it's something that's known about me. So, I think I'd be incredibly competitive every series. I get excited about the one task in the show that I know I would have smashed, and I go in complete denial about the other ones that I drew a complete blank on. Couldn't think of anything to do. But I'm like, see, I would have got that easy. I would have won that so good. It would have been hilarious and effective. And yeah.
Do you have any particular tasks from Taskmaster history that you wish you could have done? Or just favourite tasks?
Well, my favourite all-time task. And again, it's another person. Speaking of Jamali being just the ideal one. When Lou Sanders was announced as being on Taskmaster, I just... was right, that's going to be an amazing series. She's going to be
for sure
consistently just wonderful. And on the season that she was on, the task where they start on the railway bridges and Alex goes down and hides and they have to sneak their way along and someone hid in a bin. And that was just...
That was Lou. That was Lou.
I want to do that task just with my mates, let alone on Taskmaster. It just felt endlessly amusing. And that was a series where Joe absolutely surprised me. I didn't know what to expect from him as a contestant, and he seemed consistently ashamed of himself and embarrassed of all of his efforts and his whole existence, and it was wonderful to watch.
Well, I knew what to expect with Joe, so I've known Joe for a long, long time. And as soon as he was announced, I was like, A, that's a genius casting, and B, I can't wait for people to realise that he's the weirdest man in the universe.
Just his interactions with Alex every time were the first thing to rival your friend of mine, James Acaster's, just ignoring of Alex for a whole season. Because again, that was just... I didn't care about the tasks for most of that season. I was like, I just want to watch James ignore Alex again.
I mean, that speaks to Acaster's commitment to a bit, because I think that's the sort of thing... Like, say I decided I was going to do that. Oh, I'm not going to answer Alex every time you go and do a task. Within three times of doing that and seeing Alex's little face crumble, I would have been like, no, pulling out of this immediately. No way I can do that.
Yeah. This is far too
it's
cool. 50,
I think... We filmed like over 50 tasks, I think. Yeah. So that's 50 times he didn't say hello to Alex. Multiple times a day, he ignored Alex Horn.
Yeah, I love it. It's absolutely adorable. I need to highlight that Alex is just an absolute star of Taskmaster, because it's so funny to see his inability to be unbiased and equal with everyone just due to his embarrassment and awkwardness.
I'll discuss that coming up, actually, because his broad rule seems to be if a woman asks him to do something, he has to do it.
100%. And again, it's gonna come up in this episode, because I think Alex was far less comfortable not being around his comedy mates. I felt there was an awful lot of kind of, oh, these are real celebrities from the TV. They're off the TV. I don't know how to... Greg as well at points. I thought there was element. There was moments where there was this kind of... it's a TV person. I don't want to be as mean as I normally am, or whatever else.
He was definitely nicer this episode, Greg, I think. I think he was more relaxed as well. This felt like a Christmas party. Like, the main series is finished and everyone was a bit relaxed, and this felt like a bit of fun after the main thing.
Yeah, I mean, Christmas party is the perfect analogy there, because it instantly felt, you know, it's on Channel 4 now, it instantly felt a bit Hollyoaks Nights, as off the bat Greg was getting sexy and being a bit explicit, and it was like, oh, hello!
Let's crack on with the prize task, Pip. Best thing to bring to a party, which I cannot believe they've not used before.
Yeah.
The prize tasks are getting more and more specific, as they have to, and as they should. They've never used best thing to bring to a party. It's a great general prize task.
It's absolutely amazing, right? And I always get hugely excited on this, the first task of the first episode. Obviously, this is a standalone, but the first task of the first episode, because you get to see... who has clearly never watched the show before. And we got a couple of them straight off the bat.
Yeah. Definitely. I think we were straight in with John Hannah's Bop It toy. I mean, we'll come to them. We'll chat about the contestants individually during this, I think. But
we'll do a spotlight on them, eh? You see, I listen to the podcast,
there we go.
Ed. I'm all over this.
Spotlight on John Hannah. Such a serious, proper actor.
Yeah.
I couldn't wait to see what he does. Obviously, most famous for Four Weddings and a Funeral, that very sad speech. So, quite a gear shift when he brought a Bop It in.
I mean, again, it's beautiful, though, because Greg and Alex having to try and be, all right. And again, they as we've said, they got prep for this in Series 10. They got prep for the finding how to pitch their underwhelmness.
Now, tell me what you think, Pip. You seem to be agreeing with Greg and Alex here that a Bop It is an underwhelming thing to bring to a party. Maybe I've just not been to very good parties, but I thought that was quite a good thing to bring in. If someone came to a party with a Bop It, I'd be on that Bop It immediately.
Right. It's a stealth thing to bring to a party. It's not the thing that's going to get the attention when you walk through the door, but it's going to be the thing that around whatever time, a few hours in, people are still enjoying. It's not going to have the impact. And Taskmaster, they're not actually having the party. I don't know if they knew this. I don't know if they thought they were being invited to a party and they were bringing something. But they need that impact as they walk in the door. But I completely agree. I think a bopper is better than it first appears. There'd be a lot of things, I mean, other things that we'll get onto here that would have the impact coming through the door and then would sit in the corner and be ignored.
You're quite right. You're quite right. That's what you need for a prize task in general. Anyway, you need something that has impact when you announce it initially. Yeah. It needs to immediately conjure up an image in the mind. You need to be like, bang, that's a good thing to bring. And you're right, maybe bop it, little bit of stealth. You need to think about it too much. Because I think Greg would love a bop it at a party. Completely. He's got Nerf guns in his house.
Yeah, yeah, that doesn't surprise me at all.
Yeah, so he'd love a bop it.
Yeah, I think he would.
I would love that at a party, but I should let you know that I was once told off at a stag do for playing code names.
Oh.
So I'm not really a sort of fun rock and roll guy. I prefer a game.
Yeah,
to a beer.
It's completely fair. I'm the same. I would be. Me and you would be in the corner battling it out over bop it.
Krishnan, now I think this is the one that deserved the 1 point for me, is the £15.99 disco lights.
Yeah.
Why would he bring that to a party? Yeah. Imagine if you were at a party just trying to have a nice time and then Krishnan Gurumurthy turns up misjudging the tone with some cheap disco lights.
Now I've got a theory. I think Krishnan Gurumurthy has got a cool agent who watches all the cool shows and listens to all the cool stuff. And he's never, I thought when he was on Off Menu, I thought he's never heard this podcast before.
It could not be clearer. Not, no.
He has no idea what's going on here. And it feels like his agent has taken the setup of the classic comic relief, let's get the newsreaders to do something out of their comfort zone, and wonderfully turn that into a career. Because he turns up on so much cool stuff that I'm into, and as soon as he starts, you're like, oh, he's never listened. I always think, oh, cool. How mad that Krishnan Gurumurthy is into Off Menu. Oh, no, hang on. He's not into it at all.
And no, he had no idea what was going on.
And this was, I mean, why would you bring disco lights to a party? What? That's it. If anything, that's undermining the people throwing the party. It's assuming that they're not going to have covered. I don't have faith in you to throw a good party. So here's the basics.
Yeah. But then he said he used to go to discos 3 times a week. So was he taking disco lights to the disco just in case?
Yeah, exactly. His own little strobe lights. His own glow sticks. Proper raving.
I used to go to the disco 2 or 3 times a week.
I don't want to be mean, but you do sound like you're lying.
I think he was great on Taskmaster. I think he was baffled by a lot of it, but that's kind of wonderful to see. It's always fun when there's one person who doesn't really know what's going on.
He's great on everything. That's why I think he's got this cool agent who's just like, it works. I can put him on anything. And he's got that tone that he will play along. He's not going to be stroppy or snooty. There's going to be moments where he tries to play along and it doesn't land, and there's going to be, which is more fun, and there's going to be moments where it does land perfectly. So, yeah, I think it's wonderful, but you're 100% right. That was the 1 point item.
Yeah, definitely. For me, that was the 1 point. Spotlight on Nicola. She brought a skeleton with a bottle of tequila. This was my personal favourite, Pip.
It's the five-pointer. I completely agree. It's the five-pointer. It's also the one that would have been in the corner of the room being ignored shortly after you've walked in the door. But we're walking in the door here. We're not. I can't be clearer. We're not having the party. we're walking in the door, and I think this was the. Yeah, this was the.
This
five
is the impact. This
me.
Is the impact thing. This is what people are having photos taken with at the party as well. As soon as it's through the door, they're like, hey, "She's got a skeleton." Yeah, definitely. I think that was the 5-pointer for me. I think we'll come to Shirley. I think Greg was wowed by Shirley's showbiz.
Yeah.
And that's why the 5 points went to her, because she sold it very well. But I think as soon as Nicola brought that in, I was like, I think we might have a winner here, and I was proved massively wrong.
I think you've nailed it there, because with this task, you're looking at what is the item that most people are going to have in the photo they post on Instagram from the party to show people that they were at the party, to prove they went to a party. And it's the skeleton. It's a clear winner. And then adding the tequila in there, that's a bit of fun.
Yeah. So, spotlight on Rylan, who I was so excited for when he was announced.
Mates,
I mean,
same.
We'll talk about him like loads through this. Obviously,
he's my hometown guy. He's from Stanford Lee Hope. I don't know if he's from Stanford Lee Hope or his mum still lives there. He lives up the road a bit, I think. But what you get in Stanford, we're the two extremes. There's going to be a beard. But it's either Rylan or Scroobius Pip. That's the two ends of Stanford. But I think he's amazing. And right off the bat, him and Nicola, right off the bat, were argumentative, forceful with their ideas and putting themselves forward. And that's what you want. That's what you love to see.
After this episode finished, I thought they were all really good, but Rylan was one who stood out as I want to see Rylan on a full series of Taskmaster.
Yeah, 100%.
Because he wanted to win so much. He argued every single point. He looked genuinely annoyed at points. he brought in a robotic vacuum. This was not a good start from Rylan. I don't think this was a good prize task. It's not something you want to bring to a party, because his point was that he couldn't get to sleep if there was a party in his house and he knew that it was messy. But he's bringing that to a party. So he's basically going around someone else's house and saying, this place is going to be a tip. I can't sleep knowing that you live in a sty.
You see,
it's not a good thing to bring.
You see, I don't know if I was just weighed over by the Rylandness of it all, because I liked it. I liked it. I'm not a...
Yeah?
I'm a polite party guest, so I will be needing to offer to help tidy up and things like that. So I think there was that element of the, once the party's over, he can then go, well, here's my nomination. Here's the person who's going to tidy on my behalf. So yeah, I enjoyed it, but I think it's partly because I was so anti the winner in this task.
Right. So you sound like you're more anti the. So let's spotlight on Shirley Ballas. You were anti Shirley's prize, but I wasn't anti it. I don't think. I think you're looking at 3 to 4 points for the trolley.
I thought 3 points. I wasn't completely against it. I was against Greg falling in love so quickly. I think he needs to protect himself more. I think he needs to hold back with his emotions and not go so deep so quickly. But the speed with which he was all over this prize, and I was like, it's just a drinks trolley. Effectively, the skeleton had wheels on it and a tequila in it. That was also a drinks trolley.
Yeah,
it's
very
just
true.
It's a human skeleton. So that's if we're even just comparing drinks trolleys, the one that's a human skeleton wins for me.
Also, it had a record player on it that wasn't plugged into any speakers. Yeah. So that was a useless waste of space on top of there.
Absolutely.
It's Greg knows it's a one-off episode. Normally in a full series, he wouldn't go all in like that. But he's thought, I can just tell everyone exactly what I'm thinking. He fell in love with Shirley Ballas immediately. She wowed him and blinded him with glitz and glamour. And, you know, he melted.
His love for Sally Phillips came out in episode 3 of that series. So he's got the resistance there. Shirley got 5 points, not the drinks, not her item. And again,
exactly.
I'm kind of okay with that in a way, but we need to acknowledge that that's what happened.
Totally.
We need to acknowledge that a drinks trolley with a record player that isn't plugged into anything isn't better than an actual human skeleton.
But to be fair to Shirley, as soon as she started speaking, I thought, I cannot wait to see what she does in the rest of the episode.
100%. 100%. And just, she had the vibe of someone who was just absolutely dying to dance. And that was evident. That was evident several times. She was holding it in.
Every task she did a little dance.
I mean, find what you love and make a career of it. God bless her. It's fair enough. She's clearly got the passion for it. So no arguing there.
I mean, my God, I can't take my eyes off the woman.
I mean, it's just a wondrous, wondrous thing. And you know, when you were describing it and I looked at the beautiful vision that would greet me while you sauntered around it, I imagine, not for a second during that whole description did I think, but who's going to hoover up afterwards?
What would you have brought, Pip? What's your prize best thing to bring to a party?
Well, my best thing to bring to a party is the fact that as a kid I went on the Fun House.
You're bringing a fact?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, I just that, getting into Greg's...
Putting it like that, it sounds so Scroovy as Pip, doesn't it? Fucking now, poet. Now, the poet's brought a fact to the party. Brace yourselves,
by
everyone.
By your own metrics, Pip, by, I've got to treat you
as
you would treat someone else bringing a fact to the party. Where's the impact? Where's the impact in the door? We're not having the party. You can't talk about the fact. You're walking in the door. How are you showing that you've been on Funhouse? Bang. What's the impact?
I'm letting one person know. And then if you're at a party and someone there is telling a story of going on Funhouse as a kid, you're gathering round. It's that kind of... There was a thing in the kind of late 80s, early 90s in wrestling where Jake the Snake made a point of saying, speak quiet, like where everyone was all shouty in their promos, and Jake the Snake said, speak quietly and they'll have to lean in to listen to you. So you'll draw them in. Rather than shout for their attention, speak softly and make them come to you. That's what happens with a fact like that. And it's a true story, because my brother was at a party a while back and there was a guy there on his own, and he was on Funhouse as a kid, and he was the talk of the party. Everyone, all night, he was being essentially passed from group to group, answering questions about the twins, answering questions about Pat Sharp, everything. And at the end, my brother was at the door and the guy was leaving, and he walked past him and went, made all that up, I wasn't really on Funhouse, and left. And it is one of the most legendary... I wasn't on Funhouse. Of course I wasn't. I would have mentioned that way before now, but it's just... I've never heard anything from a party talked about more and get a bigger reaction every time. So,
of course, because why would anyone lie about being on Funhouse?
Exactly. And again, everyone, Funhouse or Nightmare, everyone wanted to be on that, but no one was. I don't know anyone. Alex Jones, the conspiracy theorist, would claim that they were all actors and Funhouse never really existed. And they were there to put forth a narrative that the government wanted to put forward. But yeah, I've never met
anyone. They weren't twins on Funhouse. They were clones. They were government clones.
100% clones. But yeah, that was a show that literally, I've never met anyone of our age who didn't want to be on either Funhouse or Nightmare, yet I've also never met anyone who was on either. So yeah, I would bring, it's now revealed to be a fake fact to a party, and it would be more popular than a skeleton.
See, no, you've done well there, because it doesn't have the impact initially, but it's a good chat in the studio. I think that would do that would do very well. Five points, Pip. Well done. So get the biggest thing through the donut without breaking the donut. You have 20 minutes. Your time starts now. It's a tough task, this.
It is.
But especially thinking of it from a comics perspective, because that's the sort of one where it's kind of very root one way of doing it, but how do you make it entertaining and how do you make it funny? You're just trying to think around it. This is how you know that Ryland's seen the show before, because he's immediately trying to think outside the box. And also, we should probably talk about his outfit at this point.
I mean... he's only on one episode, and I think he's stolen my favourite outfit in Taskmaster history. Obviously, Phil Wang was in there. Obviously, Lou Sanders was in there. And Daisy May Cooper was the recent rise to the throne. But Ryland, instantly, so simple, so effective, so amusing, as was the outfit. Boom, boom.
Yeah, there we go. Yeah, absolutely. What a talk about impact. That should have been his thing to bring to a party.
100%. How did you have that in your bag and then the thing you bring to a party is a Hoover?
A robot Hoover. John Hannah approaching it. I mean, he's got such gravitas, John Hannah. He's almost like a sort of... he's like a scientist at a coronavirus briefing. I think...
yeah, completely.
I'd listen to him. I'd listen to Tier 4.
With
John Hannah saying it.
100%. 100%. He's got that vibe about him. And again, I think he was one that Alex was slightly intimidated by. I think there were moments when Alex was a little bit standoffish and nervous. And I think John missed a trick in that he could have asked Alex to do pretty much anything And at least until he's got Greg to back him up, he would have gone along with it.
Yeah.
He might have got to the studio and said, well, you know, we couldn't... That shouldn't be allowed. Like, once he's got Greg there next to him, but prior to that, I think he could have got away with anything.
He just put loads of things through the donut. So in the end, he ended up pouring that massive cup of tea through it, which is such a clever idea, but I don't think he had the idea.
No.
I think he was just putting as things much stuff through it as possible. He was just putting through and then... But the liquid is such a good way of doing it, but I don't think he thought around it.
This was the one... You know, I said that every episode there's one task where I know I've nailed it. This was the one that I instantly came up with my idea, and I knew I was doing this podcast, so I was like, I hope none of them do this, because it's the best idea. And it's, I mean, it's not that funny, but you could make it more amusing, but I would have just put the donut around a tap and left the tap running.
Yeah.
And put gallons of water. I mean, it's a huge waste. It's a terrible thing to do, but it's... Even if it's just filling the bath.
I think if you'd worked out that water or liquid would count as the biggest thing, I think... Because I don't think John Hannah had worked that out, because if he had, he would have done your thing and used the tap.
Yeah, exactly. I saw him do that. I thought, oh no, but yeah. Or the hose, anything.
But he lucked out there, I think. Shirley, just with a constant stream of innuendos. That's basically what she put through the donut. I mean, the big pipe business.
This was the one that just made me absolutely fascinated by Shirley's brain, that her initial first thought was to make the hole ever so slightly bigger.
Yeah, just a bit.
It wasn't much bigger. It's just like, just cut this little extra bit out. It's like, I don't know how much that's going to help you. I think, again, the thinking outside of the box is like, right,
yeah,
we need to figure a way to do this, but I'm going to make it a
fraction
bigger.
Also, I would have been worried at that point that I was breaking the donut.
Yeah. Yeah.
Obviously... Obviously, I think if you broke the ring, maybe they'd have you there. But the cutting out feels like you're breaking it as well. Because my instant thing was I'd try and...
Make no mistake, Ed. If you'd done it, Greg would have been down on you like a ton of bricks breaking the donut.
Yeah, fair point. All I was thinking was that I might have pulverized the donut and tried to reform it.
Yeah.
So, but then I guess I would have been breaking it and then reforming. I mean, it would have been an argument in the studio. Sometimes if you can't think of anything good, it's good to break the rules and then try and argue your way out of that corner. That's always a lot of fun.
Always. Again, that was established in series one with Tim Key. Tim Key was mainly there for an argument in the studio rather than anything he did on the task. It's like, get me in front of them and I'll plead my cause. And whether I win or lose, at least I'll have my day in court.
Rylan used special effects. This is, you know he's seen the show before. He used the cow in the distance and put the donut close to the camera so it looked like the cow was going through the donut.
And it's
did
a winner.
Dance.
It's a winner. He did a little dance, he had a little sing, and he did it really well. I was worried at first when he put the donut up that it wasn't flat side on, because if you're going to cheat, I want it to be accurate. But then he just adjusted it and he did it perfectly. It looked good. Yeah, masterful.
But what annoyed me about it, though, is he did it and then he turned the donut round and started just like wiggling it around. So he broke the illusion, which I wasn't a fan of.
But again, I don't know, is that part of the magic trick, a kind of vibe, right? You do it and then you wave things and go, da da. See, it couldn't have been done. It's not possible. But I did.
I mean, I wouldn't have said this to his face, because if you argue with him on this, he absolutely loses it. He said to John Hannah, "Ooh, I was in a film," which made me squawk.
Same. And this was an interesting point, because again, you got to see the people, as we've said, who haven't seen the show, suddenly realise what's going on and get a little bit annoyed, because they did try and argue a little bit. Well, it was the image of the cow, so it was not the actual. You should be measuring. And then John jumping in with the aperture and all this. So, I enjoyed that.
Poor old Krishnan, I think, was a bit baffled by it again. Nicola was just so excited at the variety of things that she could put through the donut that she didn't stop to think that nothing was actually going through the donut. It was just balanced on top of a cactus.
Yeah, it was quite curious. I couldn't get my... I was watching it as she was doing it, and I was thinking... Have I missed her say something? Because I don't know what's happening here. I don't know what the... How is all this going to go through? It's like, I didn't miss anything.
No, I think she decided that it had gone through and then was retrospectively adding things to it to make it a bigger thing. I sort of saw how she was thinking about it, but it was on it. It wasn't through it.
I tell you what would have been good. now thinking again on her kind of approach, getting a really big balloon, uninflated.
Yeah.
Pass it through, then fill it up with water, because it's passed through, and then the measuring
back on the water
period.
Obsessed with water, Pip.
Yeah, it's the key. It's the key to passing through games. Have you not gone through my book on how to win Taskmaster?
I enjoy that technique. Here's what I think Greg would say: if you pass a balloon through and then inflate it, it wasn't big when it went through. That's like saying my mum gave birth to a 14-stone baby. Because I've got bigger after I've come out of the donut. Sorry, Mum.
Yeah. Well, that's
apologies,
a hard one
Mum,
to say, really. I wouldn't want to comment.
Yeah.
You bet big on that cactus being through the donut.
I did.
And you fucked it.
And now it's time to hear from our BFF bonus fact finder, Alex Horn.
Ah, whoops, and a happy new year to you from me, little Alex Horn, the bonus fact finder, BFF. And yes, I do have a fact about the Taskmaster treat, the first ever New Year's Day special. So here we go. Are you ready? Good. The fact is this. In the first task of the episode, the donut task, some of you, many of you in fact, may have noticed there was some writing on the back of the task. None of the contestants noticed the writing. But I shall now reveal what it said. The task itself was, of course, get the biggest thing through the donut without breaking the donut. On the back, in font size 9 writing, it said, if you put the words the biggest thing through the donut, you will be disqualified and lose 1 point. We did that because I vaguely expected somebody just to write the biggest thing on a piece of paper and put it through the donut and expect to win. I like people to work around the rules and to think laterally, but, you know, there's a limit. None of them noticed it, but I would say if you are a future contestant and you are listening to this podcast, this sort of thing may well happen again. Check the back of the task, for goodness sake. Okay, Happy New Year, everyone. I've got the hiccups, and I'm worried that I will throughout 2021. Good luck me, and good luck you. Thanks for listening. Goodbye!
Okay, task 2. Sculpt the scene on the other side of this wall. Most accurate sculpture wins. You have 15 minutes. A classic Taskmaster task.
Yes.
As soon as it was announced, I was like, yes, I'm looking forward to this one. Now, here's my first thought about this. The task does not say you can't move the wall.
Yep, good point.
It would have ruined the fun, but surely someone should have thought to just pull the wall down. Ryland tried to bash another hole in it, and when he was doing that, I thought, just bash the whole wall down.
Yeah.
You'll be able to see exactly what's going on the other side.
Yeah, yeah. Because, again, it's a very delicately erected wall. I think that's a great shout. This was the first one that I got some of the feelings that Greg had got in previous tasks, but mine was in reaction to the firmness of John Hannah's inquisitive hand. I mean, that it was empowering. I was slightly moved. He was so firm and bold in his curiosity. I mean, it didn't.
Well,
pay
he
off.
Put me. He, no, it didn't at all. But he put me in mind of an old school policeman searching a shoplifter.
100%.
Like a 70s, like a Life on Mars cop.
I'm looking for something to punish you, and if I don't find anything, this will be the punishment enough.
Yeah, totally.
I can't punish you unless I find something. So I'm punishing you a bit now, just in the advance of finding anything. Yeah,
totally.
He definitely had that feel. But then his mind went to an absolutely bizarre place with what he thought he had felt.
Yeah, the mask, the superhero mask, the member of the Swiss Guard. That is a classic Taskmaster panic. He just went on an absolute spiral.
Yeah, a member of the Swiss Guard. Again, it's one of them ones that you watch it and think, I feel I would have known that's a lollipop man. The clues are there. The clues are fairly clear. But who knows if I would have gone to a member of the Swiss Guard in the moment.
It makes you wonder what sort of life John Hann has led that he recognises a lollipop person as a member of the Swiss Guard. Like, how much time has he spent in Vatican City?
Yeah. It's a curious one. And what he created was haunting. Beautiful. Yeah.
Oh, well, not as haunting, I would argue, as Krishnan's, who just looked like an evil ghost doctor.
I don't know how
he managed to get 4 points. It looked like an actual ghost. Yeah. Because no wonder he was worried. He said he was scared while he was doing it. If that's what he thought was on the other side of the wall, he should have been shitting his pants.
I mean, I'll tell you how he managed to get 4 points, Ed. Did you see the rest of them?
Well, Ryland nailed it. Look, straight out, let's say amazing. That, straight out of the game. Ryland absolutely smashed it. He made him lie on the floor to make the scene more accurate, which I thought was a great move.
Beautiful addition.
He got quite angry towards the end trying to get him to reveal the colour of his hat. Yeah. But Ryland smashed it.
And wonderful Krishnan, that at the end he got angry at him not being able to tell him stuff. He'd done the whole thing and thought for some reason at the end, oh, the hat is... That can't be against the rules. You can tell me that, right?
Yeah, I mean, everyone else's was pretty awful. Nicola's tiny Irish man with the duck and the Taskmaster sign. That's a real panic that she just decided to make the Taskmaster sign, presumably to butter Greg up, as if to say, I know what show I'm on.
Yeah, I think so. Or it could have been that there was an assumption of arrogance that they would have someone stood there holding a Taskmaster sign. Again, I guess a lollipop men as prevalent as they once were.
I don't think I've seen a lollipop person for years. So, but they're part of the cultural lexicon, aren't they?
But maybe Nicola is the youngest.
They're less of an Irish and the youngest. And how many lollipop people do they have in Ireland?
Yeah, it's a good point. So maybe there was something there that can be forgiven. And again, I think it's a valid. I marked Nicola higher in my head. And I think it's because I appreciate some pampering. I appreciate the effort of making a Taskmaster sign because it is like, well, there you go. That's part of the game, right?
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think she deserved a couple more points maybe. Shirley deserved the 1 point because that mad decision that she decided she was going to do it on the wall despite no one telling her that whatsoever.
And the mad decision of looking at the amount of Play-Doh on the table... The decision to do it to scale or life-size. How was it ever going to look good as a life-size? Like, you're not... It's madness. Yeah, it deserved
I think she was just
point.
Quite taken with the gloves, to be honest, and got a little dance in, of course. 1 point for Shirley Ballas, deservedly. 2 points for Nicola. 3 points for John Hannah's Swiss Guard baby. 4 points for Krishnan Gurumurthy's Haunted Doctor. And 5 points for Ryland's Old Man. So that brings us on to the third task. I'm going to read out the full instructions. Build the largest tower on this set of scales. You may not move the scales or tape anything to them, and you may not tamper with or block the fan. The fan will be on for 1 minute every other minute. At the end of the 10 minutes, your tower must be taller than a wolf and stand by itself for 10 seconds. And when Alex blows his whistle, say you have a good idea. That was only for Rylan. A lot to remember, and it was taking place in a rather smart new biodome, which I'm presuming is in there for series 11. It can't just be for this one-off. It's great. I love it. What a nice addition to the Taskmaster house.
It looks lovely, right? It looks all modern and futuristic. What do you reckon on this task? Is this one of those tasks that you just go safe and simple on the assumption that a lot of people are going to try and be too clever and get disqualified? Because that's that was my instinct. That it's like there's... Because you have to get it over and it has to survive the fan and all this kind of thing. I was thinking there's a lot of people who are going to bottom out on this one. So maybe just as John did, really. He just kind of found some light things and built. It wasn't that clever. It wasn't that thinking outside the box. But I think there are certain tasks that are like... That right, you have to assume that a lot of people are gonna
if it has that many instructions on it and that many attempts to close off caveats, you've just got to do it. And I think again Ryland proved that he's seen the show before by constantly trying to think of a different way to interpret light. Yeah. So he's going, lightest tower. What's the light? Fairy lights, fair. I'll get fairy lights. But he's spent so long trying to think outside the box, he's forgotten the main objective of the task, which is to build a tower.
I love his performance thinking. Like, he doesn't just go off and think. He paces around, making big gestures, saying what he's trying to think of. The lightest tower. The lightest tower. The lightest tower.
The lightest tower. Yeah, it was very funny to watch, but an absolutely awful attempt at the task, I'd say.
Yeah, it was terrible, wasn't it?
There weren't many great attempts. Everyone seemed to have a bit of a nightmare. And like you say, John Hannah played with a straight bat, and that's what did it in the end.
Or again, we've gone, as we've highlighted, the two who felt like they've not watched the show, therefore are going to just go a bit more direct, got the 5 and 4 points in this one. They weren't that exciting, but they were a simple build.
Totally. And then Shirley obviously came through with the 3 points, went pretty straightforward as well. But yeah, Nicola and Rylan trying something too clever came away with 0 points. It was hard to see that with Nicola because she'd had a bit of a rough show already.
Well, once again,
Rylan was on a roller coaster.
Similar to the donut one, I found it hard to see what the clever thing Nicola was trying was. I was quite confused again. Rylan, it wasn't a tower. It wasn't freestanding.
No, he basically just decorated the scale like a student bedroom.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, exactly.
That's all he did.
Which could be a great task.
Yeah, decorate this set of scales like a student bedroom. Che Guevara poster, fairy lights, Bosch.
I'm trying to work out how I can cheat. I've had a really good idea.
So the studio task, this is a two-part studio task. You had to select an object first. You'd lose a point if you selected the same as one of your fellow contestants. And these are real points, by the way. This
always
is big
good
stuff.
Fun. Always good fun when there's that out of your control. You have to try and bluff and double bluff and triple bluff. It's always amusing.
Even more difficult as well to get into the heads of your fellow competitors when it's the first and only episode that you're with them.
Yeah, yeah, 100%.
So we had two cabbages, we had two equilateral triangles, sadly, and Rylan was the only one who selected a unique object with the bath blueprints. But of course, it's not as simple as that. Part two, strike the most balls into the bath with your object. If any of your balls touch the taskmaster, you lose one actual point. You have 1 minute. Now, they can afford to do this because it's only one episode. They can afford to burn off points and it makes sure there's a winner.
Yeah.
But let's just straight away talk about Nicola trying to hit the ball with the middle of a triangle that doesn't have a middle.
Mind-blowing. Absolutely mind-blowing. The techniques of several people in this task were just astounding. Rylan essentially had a paper baseball bat if he wanted. You've literally got plans that you can just roll up and use. It should have been good, but it was a mess. But yeah, the repeatedly going back to and Greg shouting, the crowd shouting, turn it on its side to Nicola. And she's using a triangle, a snooker triangle essentially, and consistently as well. Is it on the studio tasks, is there more panic? Is there more that kind of, oh my god, I need to do something?
There is a lot of panic, but of course there was a studio audience when I did it, which sort of put a different spin on them. Like, you're intensely doing them, but people are cheering you on and there is like some proper noise in the studio and it feels a bit more sort of rowdy. It feels like you're actually playing a sport. Whereas I can't imagine how weird it is doing that to sort of crisp silence in a studio. But it was a very funny studio task. I look forward to the studio task more and more every week now. I think there's been some brilliant ones as of late as well.
Yep,
and zero points for John Hannah, zero points for Krishna Gurumurthy, and 0 points for Rylan.
I need to flag, I think this was one of the few great injustices in Taskmaster task history, because John Hannah was completely right that he was at a huge disadvantage on the hitting Greg thing, because he was the only one literally opposite Greg. So it was either going in the bath or hitting Greg, whereas everyone else it was going in the bath or not going in the bath. So his was get points or lose points. It was like a double.
Yeah.
A double challenge there, so yeah, I felt
it was an injustice, but I really don't think Greg cares. I think that's the joy of it. Just sometimes that sort of thing happens, and Greg can go, "Yeah, well, that's the way it is."
And again, it'd be a greater injustice if John hadn't started the show by bringing a boppet to a party. So No one's going to be too sad about it.
Nicola somehow managed to get one ball in, even though she was trying to hit balls with air. And Shirley Ballas, as Greg said, the perfect end to the show, two balls. Which wins the show for Shirley. I think she brought everything to it. I think she probably deserved a victory, and Greg was happy about it. 17 points for Shirley Ballas there. Rylan, a second place, which I don't think he would have been happy with. Krishnan with 12 points. Nicola with 10 points, and John with 10 points as well. John really hemorrhaging points at the end there. And Nicola truly. Very lucky to not be rock bottom.
If you're in my way, nobody Why else is going to be hitting balls in that direction. I'm at a disadvantage here.
You've just signed of the triangle fucking balls. But John had a...
Well, that's because I'm the only one that's firing in that fucking direction.
You've got 3 seconds left.
No! What a fun episode. I really think that... I think and I hope they keep doing this because... It's a really fun way of freshening things up and having some odd people on.
I want them as a treat once a year or twice a year. I think the beauty of Taskmaster is it's the only kind of panel show as such that has a running scoreline over episode. Yeah. And I love that. It's not all, it doesn't get wrapped up in one episode. That's one of the overlooked unique things of Taskmaster is you want to find out how it all ends. But as one-offs where you're getting people who, as you said, either wouldn't be available for a whole series or maybe you wouldn't be confident would work for a whole series and things like that. I think it's beautiful. And I think the more it opens up so many more people because there's so many people who they can probably convince to do one episode but couldn't convince to do a whole series.
Pip, thank you so much for coming on the show. As is tradition on the Taskmaster podcast, I will now ask you to rate your experience on the podcast between 1 and 5 points.
It's got to be a 5-pointer. It's been an absolute joy. And as said, it was the surprise element of the episode as well. Just made it all the more exciting because I thought I was done with Taskmaster for the year. I thought I'd had my lot and then bang, a little treat.
A little treat. A little treat on New Year's Day to kick off what will hopefully be a better year. Fingers crossed.
Fingers crossed indeed. Fingers very much crossed. I have so little hope. I wanted to end that all positive there, but I'm fully aware that global viruses have no idea what year it is.
No, they don't. Well, let's end it there then with our special guest, Scroobius Pip, saying, I have no hope. Thank you very much for listening. Well, what a great episode that was. So lovely to have a true... student of Taskmaster on. Pip really, really knows his stuff. You notice there, for every situation he could dip back and find an example from a previous series, he really, really knows his stuff. So I'm sure we will have him back on the Taskmaster podcast at some point, because that's right, we have been extended. We are not going anywhere. We are going back to the beginning. We are starting again. We are starting with episode 1, series 1 on January 7th. We're kicking that off. We are chatting about each episode of Taskmaster in order. So if you'd like to watch along, I would highly recommend that. As the podcast comes out, watch the episode, listen to the podcast. I think that'd be a worthy journey to accompany us on. We're going to have amazing special guests from the series. We're going to have big fans of Taskmaster like Pip. We're going to be chatting to Alex again. It's all very exciting. So do come back and join us. Episode 1, Series 1 of Taskmaster, January 7th, the Taskmaster podcast. Thank you very much. But for now, goodbye and Happy New Year.